Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
I'm Amy Barton, and this is everything you never knew you wanted to know about the killer fog of London.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is one of those topics that I've heard about vaguely, and I remember watching a movie that was filmed 50s or 60s, and one of the creepy aspects of the movie is that there was a woman, she's walking through London and she keeps hearing something, but it's a pea souper.
Oh, it's so foggy. Yes.
Yes. And so she can't see who's pursuing her. So most of us have a concept that for a while there in London, the fog was very bad because it wasn't just fog. And that was my extent of my knowledge. But I saw a social media post or a Pinterest something that said that the fog in London was so bad in 1952 that blind people were guiding people back home because visibility was so low.
Oh.
And I thought, that's interesting. That's so bad. And like, if I were an opportunistic blind person who needed to make a buck, I'd be like, I absolutely do know the way home for the cost of a pint. So here's what happened. This was December 5th, 1952, started as a clear day and ended in a 5-day stretch of fog so thick that sometimes you couldn't even see down to your foot. 5 days where London was just paralyzed and trapped. And if you're from Spokane, you're like, I bet it was an air inversion. And you would be correct. Because that happens here. We have that all the time here. But not to this magnitude.
No, I was going to say, like, it doesn't seem to get foggy. We get hazy. Like, it's so hazy. And yeah. Your eyes might sting, but wow.
Yeah, so this is the result of a high-pressure weather system that hovers over an area. And, like, Spokane's in a little valley, so other places are like, we have that, too. It's this little high-pressure system that just kind of creates this bubble and traps in whatever's in there. And so for London in 1952, without environmental health and safety regulations that we now enjoy, that was soot pumped into the air by the factory smokestacks, household chimneys, automobiles, diesel-fueled buses, which had recently replaced the electric trams, that created this fog plus smoke combination, which is smog. We all know smog now because we grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
So smog is not special anymore, but it was very special then because of the concentration. So you wake up, clear, sunny, you go to work. But by the time the end of the day rolled around, visibility was practically zero. Like I said, they could see maybe a foot in front of them at times and in certain areas. And that lasted for full 5 days because of that high pressure system. And it was a 30-mile wide system that kept that in over the city. So it smelled like rotten eggs. Oh. They couldn't see each other. Transportation came to a stop because if you can't see to drive, like, people abandoned their cars in the streets. Huh. The train system stopped because it just wasn't safe. It was conductors of the buses, the double-decker buses. They say that they were walking. Somebody would walk in front of the bus so the bus could get where it was going safely. So you may as well just walk, but the bus had to get off the roads. But people, you know, abandoning cars. You could do the London Underground, but even there, it was hazy indoors. They stopped showing movies because the indoor air quality was hazy.
Oh my gosh. How bad does it have to be for indoor air to be hazy?
Yeah, because we here up in the Northwest have fire season now, too, as a thing, apparently. And you shut your door and your air inside is still the same level of transparency. It is a little smelly, but it's still completely transparent for us. So,
wow.
Yeah. And it's not just that the air was thick and foggy looking. It actually had all those particulates in it. And so the walls and streets were covered with a greasy ooze. It was actually slippery. And so people would come home looking like they were coal miners if they were actually going out and could. Even football, and when I say football, I mean soccer, in London was canceled, which is, that's a big deal. They're all about the football over there.
Now, I think I remember seeing like a movie or, you know, some sort of BBC thing. was part of the problem, like, they didn't stop all industry. Didn't they kind of keep going? I mean, like, if
yeah,
wasn't that like, an issue?
Yeah, it seems like life went on as much as they could.
Oh,
like, you
geez.
Could, if you could get to work. Yeah. And so environmental regulation took several years before they're like, that was kind of bad, right? Let's fix this, which that is historically our pattern. We don't like to, you know, there's that businesses have a hard time wanting to cut into the bottom line to stop something that might happen. But that definitely did happen. And it happened again in what year? I think it was 1956. They had another one. Oh, no, 62, as late as 62. And 750 people died in that one.
Wow.
So movies closed. There was one cross-country competition at Wimbledon Common. And the track marshals would be positioned to shout, this way, Oxford and Cambridge. And so you'd run toward the shouting.
Run. You're running and breathing in stuff that leaves walls greasy. People,
yes.
What were we thinking? Mm-hmm.
The aftermath of that over a period of time killed 4,000 people. They died prematurely. So that could be a long span, but still it appreciably affected many, many people.
And it was probably more than that, right? You know, I kind of feel like with any of these sorts of things, it's you might not even know. Wow. And that was 1952?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeez.
Birds lost in the fog crashed into buildings.
Oh.
11 prize heifers brought to Earl's Court for the famed Smithfield show choked to death. And so breeders were fashioning, sorry, parents of nine-year-olds, I apologize. I should have told you. I might be talking a little bit about some sad parts of this.
Oh,
but here's innovation. You could just skip right to innovation. So this, brain junkies, this was affecting animals as well.
Yeah.
And so the breeders fashioned these gas masks for their cattle. They soaked grain sacks in whiskey. And I wonder, like, were there tipsy cows, but they were alive, so it was good? So... yeah, it was a fairly dire situation and like this crazy 5 days of madness. And I'm sure it was everybody's teeth are on edge. When is this going to stop? And then a big breeze came in and it was fine. So December 9th, they had a wind blow in from the sea and it was like it never happened except for everything is probably covered in soot still. I just had no idea of the extent of that one event. I just thought it was kind of smoggy in London for a lot of years, which I think was also the case. But I'd had no idea that there was this one big catastrophic event.
Wow. What kills me is I can't believe I looked up face masks for cows and now I've fallen down this terrible thing of they're masks to catch like burps because they're detecting methane. That's not where we were going. What blows my mind is that it was so nasty and people were like, well, capitalism says we have to keep going, you know?
The idea that buses are still running. I mean, I can see on that first day, let's get back to the bus barn. But I wonder, I drove out on Christmas Eve and there was a giant sheet of ice when I left. And we're like, it's Christmas. Let's try anyway. Well, you know, we have this horrible lack of self-preservation to create normalcy.
We do. Yeah. You know, what's funny is so on Wikipedia, it says London had suffered since the 13th century from poor air quality and diarist John Evelyn had written about, quote, the inconvenience of the air and smoke of London. So, I mean, like and that was in 1661. So it was you know, they knew it was bad. And then it just took a step up.
Yeah. They're like, we can do better.
Dang.
Yeah. So there you go. The big fog, the big smog.
not the dragon from The Hobbit.
Yeah, that's Smaug. Isn't he have a little bit of an owl in there? So some little nuance.
There you go. Although they do make smoke. Check out our Instagram for fun science and history facts. Our Facebook page is a great place to go if you have comments or questions, or you can go to brainjunk@gmail.com. We actually get email. We look at email. If you send me email, I'm going to look at it. I promise. If you'd like to hear more episodes, ask your smart speaker to play Brain Junk Podcast. And wherever you listen, please like and subscribe. Some people have been doing that. Thank you so much. And if you leave reviews, thanks. We read reviews. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.